It's a blessing and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parsha, Parshas Yisro, what a jam-packed Parsha. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. And then we're going to come out with that major Yisro, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. Perek Yudches, Pasuk Aleph, Vayishma Yisro Kohen Minyan Chosein Moshe. And Yisro, the minister of Minyan, he heard the father-in-law Moshe, as Kol Asher Asah Elohim, the Moshe. He heard all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisro, for Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Zvachim, Kuf Tes Vav. Everyone, when they hear Zvachim, they get scared. Kachim, Karbanos. But at the end of Zvachim is all the details about Kabbalah HaTorah. And Rashi says, what did Yisro hear? Says Rashi, Kriyas Yamsuf Umelchames Amalek. That he heard the splitting of the sea, last week's Parsha, and the war of Amalek, also last week's Parsha. And the obvious question that the Achronim ask, and everyone, right, there's always that first question that people ask right away in the Torah, and of the Parsha, is why specifically these two? There were so many other things, the Eser Makos, the Mon, there were so many great things. Why specifically Kriyas Yamsum and Melchamas Amalek? Question 1b, interconnected to this question a little, there's a very famous machlokes between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. The Ramban, as we all know, lived in 1194 to 1270. Rabbeinu Moshe Menachmin, one of the greatest Rishonim, right? He was tremendous. He wrote on Shas. He wrote on the Torah. And also, there's a machlokes with the Ibn Ezra. Very fascinating. I just heard an awesome story about the Ibn Ezra. Again, the Ibn Ezra in his lifetime was not so well known. He lived in 1088 to 1167. He lived in Spain, and he was very, very poor. My father-in-law told me, Rav Schwartz, right, the Rav of Ozi, and he told me a great story about him. The Ibn Ezra was so poor that he used to go from town to town and try to raise money. Again, there weren't so many Sfarim back then in 1088, right? There weren't so many Sfarim. And he would go from town to town. One time he went to a town and no one, again, they didn't have phones, they didn't have arrangements, they didn't have Airbnb. He had nowhere to stay. He was in the shul and the shamish sees him and he says, you know, where are you staying for Shabbos? He's like, I don't know. He's like, what do you mean? It's Friday afternoon. He's like, yeah, I don't know. So he's like, you know what? You come to my house. He came to the house. And then he went to davening and came back. And the shamish also, again, people were not wealthy back then. And the shamish had his kids and he had his wife. And he had the great Ibn Ezra there. He didn't know how great this person was. And he says, okay, let's eat the meal. And Ibn Ezra says, great, let's eat the meal. And then Ibn Ezra says, wait, do you have any more food? He's like, no, I don't have any more food. I have for Shabbos my Suda tomorrow. He's like, bring out that food. He's like, what do you mean? We're not going to have food for tomorrow. He's like, no, don't worry about it. So then he brought in the food for the Shabbos meal. And then he's like, do you have any more food? He's like, what? What's going on here? You know, beggars can't be choosers. What are you doing? And then he said, no, bring out the Shalosh Shudas. He's like, you're going to take my Shalosh Shudas food? Right? You're going to Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis. I'm taking all the food. I'm taking, what are you doing? And he says, no, bring out the Shalosh Shudas food. And he says, don't worry, there's nothing to worry about. Next day in shul, they dive in, and then all of a sudden, the Ibn Ezra gets up, and he starts darshaning, and everyone's like, wow, how amazing, wow, he's going through everywhere, psukim of the whole Torah, shas, everywhere, he knew everything, and everyone's amazed, who is this person? And then, everyone's fighting over to have him in their house, because, wow, this is a gadol, this is the Ibn Ezra, he wasn't well known. And he said, there's one condition, the one condition that I'll do is if I'm able to come to your house, but the Shamish and his whole family has to come, right? So we see, you know, the Ibn Ezra, he was a very poor person, but I remember when I was in Shalavim, me and my friend, shout out to Rav Joey Small, I was in Shalavim, and we decided on Friday, we didn't want to stay in Shabbos, we wanted to do something fun, we decided we're going to go to the old city, and we're just going to try to wing it, let's see if we can find a place, Friday afternoon, we're going to try to find a place, we're going to try to find meals. And I remember last minute, we were able to get into Yeshiva HaKotel, and then we didn't have meals, I went down to the Kotel, and obviously I saw my great uncle that I haven't seen in like 10 years, and he said he's staying in the old city, and he wants us to come for a meal, and then we went to Ramachlis right? A person that has hundreds and hundreds of people on Shabbos. We went in there on Shabbos Day. It was awesome, right? But again, you know, you're not having plans. You got to always have your plans. But okay, sometimes you got to risk it in the Ibn Ezra. He was tremendous. And the Ibn Ezra says something amazing. The Ibn Ezra says that if you look in the Torah, it says that basically Yisro offered a shlomim. Perik Yerches, Pasik Yerbez, Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe, Ola Uzvokim. That Yisro went and he offered an Ola and a Zevach. And the Gemara says in Zvokim something very interesting. The Gemara says that only a Jew is allowed to bring a shlomim. Right? Because a Kohen, you have to be a Jew, a Kohen, give a shout out to Akiva Kohen, who's a Kohen, right? Only a Jew is allowed to bring, but the problem is that they didn't get the Torah yet. So it says Ibn Ezra, you know, when it says Yisro, and then it says Aseres HaDibros, Yisro, Kilu converted, and he heard all these great things after Har Sinai. Even though you read the Torah, Yisro, and giving advice to Moshe, and then the Kabbalah Satorah, the Ibn Ezra says, quoting from the Gemara, that it's really out of order. Why is that? Why can a goy not eat a shlomit? Question two. We know that we have Aseres HaDibros, and we're all told as children, we obviously know the Aseres HaDibros, we'll go through them soon, but we know that the way to break them up is Ben Adam Lemakom, between you and Hashem, and Ben Adam Lechavero. And we know the obvious question, which all the Rishonim ask, the Achronim ask, that why is Kibud of the Aim? Why is Kibud of the Aim in Ben Adam Lemakom? But there's, and it's actually a Rambam. It's a Rambam found in the end of Hilchos Peah. And he says this breakup between Ben Adam Lemakom and Ben Adam Lechaver. However, there's two other ways to break up the Aseres HaDibros. How are those two other ways? A little vague question, but we'll build up a Yisod from that. Question three. We know that the Gemara tells us on Pechesam and Beis, famous Gemara, Pechesam and Aleph to Pechesam and Beis, that Klal Yisrael was getting the Torah. They got two special crowns. And the Gemara says something amazing. Kofa Aleim Har Kigigis. Hashem says, listen, you better accept the Torah. If you don't accept the Torah, Shom Tehekvur Aschem. I'm going to go and destroy you. And Tosos on the top of the Daf, very famous Tosos, that this is related to Purim Torah, because they re-accepted the Torah. But Tosos asks the Gevaldik Kasha, that we know next week's Parsha, Parsha Mishpatim, even though some people think it's this week, but it's not, it's next week, it says the famous words, Nase V'nishma. We will do and we will listen. Ask Tosas, I don't get it. You're telling me Klal Yisrael was forced. They were forced to accept the Torah. But it says in the Torah they did it willingly. They didn't even know what it was. Isn't that a contradiction? Question three. So let's just chazer over the questions. Question one is, again, you got to have it in your back pocket. You never know where you're going to be. Think about Divrei Torah. So why was it specific that Yisrael heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Amalek? There's so many other things that happened, especially even according to this Ibn Ezra, that he heard about the Torah before. Just, it's not out of order. That's the way he reads it. Quan B is, why is it specific that we know that only a Jew could eat a shlomim? Question two is how to break up the Aseres HaDibros. So we know the classic ways, Ben Adam Lemakom, Ben Adam Lechavero. And the third question is, why was it Kovaleim Har Kegigis? Were they forced to accept the Torah? But we know they willingly accept the Torah. So what's the Yisod? What's the foundation point? And again, all these foundation points, like I always say, we have one job in life. And the job in life is to be successful. What does that mean to be successful? What does that mean to Simcha? Is that we take the Ribbono Shel Olam, we take Hashem, and we bring Him into our lives. And our whole lives, we have ups and we have downs, but our whole lives is to bring this idea into our lives and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lives. And again, it's brought through the Torah and the mitzvot and the tefillah, things that we do every day. And even when you're making parnasa, you're doing it l'shem shamayim to help your family. But the whole idea is to bring Hashem into our lives. But again, specifically, what's the yisod of this week's parasha? Now, what do these two things represent, the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Mechamas Amalek? So I heard a very nice pshat, a very nice idea, that Kriyas Yamsuf, imagine Klal Yisrael, as we spoke about last week, on the one side is the Mitzrim, on the other side is the Yamsuf. They didn't know what to do. We spoke about last week, Ibn Ezra again, right? The slave mentality, it was hard for them to fight off the Mitzrim. even though they totally outnumbered the Mitzrim, still it was hard for them to fight, to knock them off. And we know the amazing miracle happened. The amazing miracle, the Medrash says that all the waters split. Not just because if you're drinking your water and all of a sudden the water splits in half. You're in the bath and all of a sudden the water splits. It was pretty crazy. So what does that represent? So that represents the open miracle, the Nes Galui. They were on such a high level. The Medrash says that they were on the highest level in Nevuah. Even a Shifka was on a higher level than Yechezkel ben Buzi, one of the greatest Nevi'im. So they were on such a high level. But that was inspiration. Inspiration is amazing. And they were inspired going through the Aser Makos inspiration. However, although inspiration is tremendous, and everyone needs inspiration, and although sometimes we're fired up from our inspiration, it's not just about the inspiration. It's about taking our experience and put it into action. If you don't put things into action, then although there will be the inspiration, but it won't come out. It won't come. It won't come to fruition. You need to take action. Vayishma Yisrael, says Rashi, the first words, Mashmua Shama Uba. Yeah, he heard about the great things, but although he heard about the great things, he didn't just hear them. He went, he went and he said, I'm going to do it. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to accept it upon myself because I'm going to take action. And this is anything in life. A person is inspired. He decides in his mind. He wants to get in shape. So although he could think about it, and he could think about it while he's eating his donut, and I want to get in shape, or he could say, listen, I'm going to control myself, although it's difficult. I'm going to take life and take things that are approaching me and put into action. Now, how is the breakup? Let's bring this idea into the Aseres HaDibros. We know that the Aseres HaDibros, as we just spoke about the Rambam says that it's broken up in Adam L'Makom and Adam L'Chaver. And the question is, Kibud Av V'Em, and the Chinuch tells the Mitzvah Lamed Beis, that Kibud Av V'Em represents Hakaras HaTov. That just like you have Hakaras HaTov for man, for your parents, for bringing you into this world, what a chesed! As the Ramban writes, there are Shlosh Shushukin, quoting the Gemara in Kedushin, there are three partners in the world, man, woman, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person needs to show the Hakaras HaTov to their parents all the time. All the time. The fact that you guys are in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a given you're in Eretz Yisrael. You need to go. I remember when I was in Yeshiva, Rogovich came to Yeshiva and he said, right nowadays it's definitely harder because now we have the phones and instant WhatsApp, quick. But even if you write a nice WhatsApp to your parents, thank you so much. In my day, he said, write a letter and send to the post office. I don't know if they have post office. I know they have post office for Amazon. But in my day, it was like, write a letter, stamp in, and get it to them. Okay, I don't know if that's the mice is going to happen. If you need me to bring something in the post office, I'm here for you. But the idea is Hakaras HaTov. But comes along the other Rishonim, and the other Rishonim say something amazing. The Me'iri, the great Me'iri, one of the great, one of the great Rishonim, right? Rav Solomon, right? He was the great, great Rav in Spain. And he wrote a commentary to Shas. And in his Hakdama to Shas, he says something amazing. He says, no, you know how you break it up? You break it up 1 to 6. Anochi and Lo Tirtzach. When I believe in Hashem and I show Hashem, you are the one in charge. Anochi, Lo Tirtzach. You're not going to go kill anyone. And it's funny because the Torah says, why are you not going to kill anyone? Because it's made B'Tselem Elohim. Lo Yeh Elohim Achirim. You can't have other gods. And that's Lo Tinof. You can't commit adultery. Because when you have other gods, you're showing you're committing adultery, Kilu. Because you're showing that it's not the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't lotisa. You can't put Hashem's name in vain. That represents lotigno. That's a little hard one. But he says eskenevas das. Just like you don't want to be losisa, curse on Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't want to have genevas das. And then he says something amazing. He says Shabbos. Don't be an eight sheker. We know that every Friday night we say vayechulu. A machlokus between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. Do you need to say it? Right? You see some people, they have a longer Shmoneh Esrei. And they have to say Vayechulu afterwards. Why? So the Chazon Ish says you need two people. You know why you need two people? Because there needs to be Eidus. Because we're accepting Eidus. And you can't be a false aid. And last one. Shabbos and Losach mode. Sorry, not Shabbos, Losach mode. Keep it on the aim and Losach mode. I remember one time there was a parent in Shir. And he said, just like, you can't be jealous and you have to show Kibbutz Avim. And he said something awesome. His father was right there, so it was a little funny. But he said that, I'm jealous that I have this father. I wish I had that father. That's awesome. But again, Lo Sachman, what's that idea? Because just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu decided who your parents are going to be, so Lo Sachman Hashem, don't be jealous of anyone else, because Hashem gives everyone what they need. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but Hashem gives everyone what they need. Comes along the great Ibn Ezra, and he says, and I heard this great Ibn Ezra from my father-in-law, Rav Schwartz, he always quotes this Ibn Ezra, it's great. He says, no, you know how the Aseres HaDibros are broken down? It's broken down with Machshava, my thought. Lo Anochi Hashem Lo Yieh. Then I have Dibur. Dibur is Lo Sisa. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. And then I have Maisa, and then I have action. But on the other five, I have Maisa, Lo Tirsach, don't kill, Lo Sinaf, don't commit adultery, Lo Signo, and then A, don't be an A chucker, that happens to do with speech, and Lo Sachmon, Machshava. So it goes Machshava, Dibor, Maisa, then it goes Maisa, Maisa, Dibor, Machshava. What's the idea from this? Again, like we've been saying, that machshava is important, thoughts are important. But it's not just the thoughts. It's not just the thoughts. It's about the maisa, it's about the dibor. The more a person focuses on the maisa and the dibor, but again, not giving up. And sometimes we are inspired. We have inspiration. I once heard from Charlie Harari, a Gavaldic thing. He says something amazing. He says, you know what inspiration is? It's dark. There's a rainstorm, it started to rain in Eretz Yisrael, it's raining. And all of a sudden there's a bolt of lightning. You see the sky lit up, that's inspiration. And then it goes back to darkness. And again, we don't want darkness in our lives, Chas v'Shalom, but it's hard. Being consistent is hard. Being consistent in davening, being consistent in anything we do, being consistent even in chesed. Chesed is hard. You know, they've been having a Yachad Shabbaton this week. All right, Benny Herzkowitz is very involved in Yachad. It's also not so easy taking care of someone with special needs, such a big mitzvah. It's also not so easy. But you have your ups and you have your downs. You know, it's amazing. Thomas Edison, I'm from Edison, New Jersey originally. You know how many times it took him to create the light bulb? You know, you would say maybe 5, 6. Who's going to go more than 5 or 6 times? They say it was 1,000 times to create the light bulb. Imagine. He was just keep on working, kept on working, working, working. He never gave up. Although, most people, 1,000 times to do all these different types of things. And nevertheless, he was able to come through with it. Because again, machshava, thought. But it's not just about thought. It's about maisa. It's about doing it. And we have to realize that we're an eved Hashem. Nase v'nishma, I don't get it. The Torah says Nase v'nishma, but Kabbalah, they were forced. What is it? So again, there's different answers. The Tanchuma Noach says, you know what the Peshat is? Is that Nase v'nishma is Torah Shebichsav. Again, Torah Shebichsav to learn is not so easy, but it's a little easier. It's deep, but it's not so deep. Where does it get deep with Torah Shebapeh? It's hard. Gemara is hard. Midrashim are hard. So it's difficult. That's why Hashem had to force. Maybe another shot. That Nase v'nishma, they were inspired. But then we have the next idea. That it's not just the inspiration. It's about putting it l'maisa, and Hashem had to force us. Because it's not easy. That is Nase v'nishma. And the idea of Kavalim Harkigigis. Why can only a Jew take a shlomim? Because we understand that we have physical and we have spiritual. The other nations of the world, they make a separation. Physical, and also they have spiritual, but they're not together. But we believe that the physical and the spiritual come together. And only a Jew, you take a carbon, which is one of the most physical things out there, and you bring Kedusha into it. That's why, specifically, it has to be only a Jew. And we're all Avadim to Hashem. Normally a slave is not a good thing. We're learning Kedushin, we're learning about slaves. It's not usually a good thing. But the fact that we're slaves to the Rabbon Hashem, it's a great thing. Because we're part of His army. We're part of His nation. It's not a burden, it's an opportunity. How we have our lives based around Torah. It's so important to bring that into your life, to bring Simcha into your life. You know, I'll tell you a great story just to end with this and make sure we have all the answers to the questions. There was very poor families in Meir Sharif, and they didn't know what to do. And they decided there was a very outgoing person. I heard this story from Reb Pesach Kron. He tells it in his Magid books, Kabbalistic story. And they decided they were going to raise a little money. They were going to send the most outgoing guy to try to fundraise. And they decided there was a very wealthy Jew in Italy. And they sent out this guy to Italy. And he got a meeting with this person. And he went to his house. And his house was huge. And it was tremendous. And he saw that he had a beautiful study. And inside his study, he had silver and gold, and he had everything, brake fronts that you can't even imagine. And in the middle of the study, there was broken glass. So now you look at something, and you're like, why is there broken glass? Like, no one's going to ask, but this guy asked. He was a labored guy. So he said, your house is beautiful. You know, I came to try to raise money, but can you tell me why is there broken glass? So the man turned to him and he said, I'm going to tell you a story within a story. Right? What happened? I came to Italy. I was brought down to Italy. I was a very frum guy. I was running my grandfather's business. I was being very successful. And then my grandfather was nifter, and I took it on. And I was doing so well, and I was so successful, and I was making a lot of money. And I found a great wife, and we were building. But then my Judaism started slipping. Little by little, it started slipping. I stopped davening. I stopped learning. And again, I was a Baal Chesed, but again, my Judaism stopped. And it wasn't, you know, I didn't realize it at the time. I was slipping and slipping and slipping. One time, I was going outside, and I saw a little boy crying so much. And I went over to the little boy, and I said, what's wrong? And he said, listen, my family's not so wealthy. And they sent me to go get money for the Hanukkah candles. And I went to go buy the oil. And while I was walking back, they were so excited. They didn't have money for oil. If you could just imagine that. While I was walking, I tripped. And I broke all of the oil. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go back to my parents. I don't know what to do. And this person looks, again, he didn't even look so firm. He turns to this Jewish boy and he says, don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you whatever oil you need. I'm going to give you money. And he was very, this man, this wealthy guy, was very shaken up from this. And then he said, oh my God, it's Hanukkah. I forgot, Hanukkah, right? Hanukkah lights, right? And he took this broken glass and he said, you know what? Let me get back to my Judaism. One little event, inspiration. And then it was hard for him, but he went little by little by little. He started learning Torah. He found people in Italy that could teach him Torah. He started doing mitzvos. He started putting his tefillin back on. He started davening. His whole life changed because of one event. This person took inspiration and he put it into his life. And he said, you know, you're coming to me. You're coming to me for money. No problem. I will support whoever needs money. I'll give you. Because this person turned his whole life around because he realized that he's an Eved Hashem. And although he might have lost it, he never really lost it. It was always there. Sometimes it's just hard to come out. So what is this idea? Let's make sure we can just answer these questions. What's this idea? Why did Yisro, these two things specific, because Kriyas Yamsuf is the supernatural miracle, but it's not just about supernatural. We don't live with supernatural, but Amalek came and they said, there's no Hashem. They said, it's cold, don't be happy, there's no Hashem. And Yisro said, no, of course there's a Hashem. Of course there's Hashem. Why specifically, says the Ibn Ezra, does a good Jewish person need to bring a shlamim? Because we bring Kedusha into physical. We take a carbon and we bring it physical. The Aseres Hadibros, how are they broken up? Again, this idea that we're saying you take inspiration and you make it real, either Ben Adam Lemakom, Ben Adam Lechavero, or the Meiri says, 1-6, 2-7, or the Ibn Ezra says, like we're talking about now, quoting Ibn Ezra a lot, that what you take, your machshava, your thoughts, your dibur, your words, a person needs to be careful with his words, and then you put it into maisa, you put it into action. And lastly, kafalem ha'kegigis, were they forced? Did they accept it? The inspiration, they accepted it. But the kafalem ha'kegigis, when they were forced to accept the Torah, the reacceptance of the Torah, they realized that it was difficult, because things are difficult sometimes, consistency is hard. But if a person works and works, and he'll have greatness. Bezer Hashem, a person should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos. Take the Kabbalah HaTorah and bring the Torah into their lives. Have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.